Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our consideration this morning is written in 1 Kings 19, verses 8 to 18, or 9 to 18. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, some time ago I happened upon an article that provided some interesting information on one of the animals that God created on creation day 6, the impala. The impala is, as you probably know, a medium-sized antelope with reddish-colored coat, roams the woodlands of eastern and southern Africa. Male impalas sport those slender, lyre-shaped horns. The interesting tidbit of information that I gleaned about impalas is that they can jump to a height of 10 feet, as high as these chandeliers, and with a single leap, they can cover a distance of 30 feet. It's like from the front pew of the church all the way to the back. And this is the interesting part, especially zookeepers can fence in impalas in an enclosure that has a wall that's about that high, maybe about 3 feet. You see, when God made impalas, they gave to them the very smart instinct not to jump to places where they cannot see that their feet will land. Pretty smart, I think we'd say. Set me to thinking about what the Lord has done for Christians as we leap through our life in the world, as we run our race of faith. Though we cannot see where our feet will land from one day to the next, yet the Lord graciously enables us to go forward, trusting that he's going to direct our steps and provide us always with a safe landing all the way to heaven. Which isn't to say we don't experience times when our faith is not tested. God's people of all times, including such faith heroes as Abraham, David, Peter, experienced times when their faith lamp grew dim. And our text today provides us with another very good example of this. And this morning we want to spend a few moments reflecting on how the Lord God of all comfort provided encouragement to his refugee prophet Elijah in one of the down moments of his faith journey, helping and teaching Elijah to trust in the Lord's word of promise and to know that he was not the only one left. First, some background information about Elijah. He lived about the year 900 BC. It was during the reign of one of the most wicked kings of Israel, Ahab. Ahab was the man who, during the days of his reign, instituted as the official religion of his realm the worship of Baal, the pagan god. During this spiritually dark period in Israel's history, the Lord called Elijah to serve him, to call the Israelite people to repentance, and to exhort them to love and worship not the fake god, Baal, but the true and the living God, Jehovah, who had given the gracious promise of a Savior. An event from Elijah's ministry, I'm sure you'll remember, probably the most famous of the incidents, is his contest that he had with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. In this contest, Elijah posed the challenge to the Baal prophets to build an altar, to place a sacrifice upon it to their fake god, call on Baal to send down fire from the heavens to consume their sacrifice, and then I'll do the same, he said. I'll call on the Lord, the God who's real, who answers prayer, and you will all know he's the true God. As I said, the Baal prophets accepted that challenge. They built their altar, did their sacrifice, and danced around it from morning all the way to noon, called on Baal. No answer was forthcoming. Finally, at midday, Elijah started taunting them. Baal, he's a real God, right? He's real, but maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he dozed off. You have to wake him up. Maybe he's busy or deep in thought. So they shouted louder, even cut themselves with knives, as was their pagan ritual. They continued to rant and rave all day till evening. Of course, no answer. Then Elijah took his turn. You know the rest of the story. Built an altar to the Lord, made out of stone, dug a trench around it, arranged wood on it, put his sacrifice upon the wood, gave instruction for someone to come and pour four large jars of water, not once or twice, but three times over the top of it, so it filled the trench he had dug around it. He stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord," this was in the evening, "God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known you're the God who's true, the God in Israel. I'm your servant, and I've done these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, so the people will know that you're the true God and are turning their hearts back to you." Fire came down right away. Burned up not just the sacrifice, but the stone altar. And it licked up the water that had collected in the trench. And when the people saw what had happened, they all cried out, "The Lord, he's God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah ordered the false Baal prophets to be seized and executed. And then there was a mass conversion of the entire Israelite nation. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel all turned back to the Lord. Wait, that's not what happened. When Queen Jezebel heard what Elijah had done, this is what happened. She became enraged, and she sent a messenger to tell Elijah that within 24 hours, you're going to be just as dead as my Baal prophets. So Elijah was forced to run away into the desert. He traveled many, many days, 40 days, many, many nights, came to a place called Mount Horeb, the same mountain on which the Lord had appeared to Moses at the burning bush. Exhausted, forlorn, lonely, despondent, thinking he'd failed his mission as a prophet of God, climbed into a cave to bed down for the night, and it was here, as we finally pick up our text, that the Lord spoke to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah? I've been very zealous for you, Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, killed your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they want me dead too." So he thought the message that God had called him and other faithful prophets to proclaim and that contest he had conducted on Mount Carmel had all been for nothing. "Lord, why don't you just take me away? Let me die since I'm not accomplishing anything good." So friends, what counsel, what good instruction does the Lord have for you and me by this Bible story from times past? Well, doesn't it happen in our lives too? In our world where idols abound, where false gods are adored and worshiped by many, the gods of money, earthly fame, self-indulgence, many other idols to which people give their hearts allegiance instead of to the Lord their God, that we may be tempted, we may suffer from what might be termed an Elijah complex as we survey the landscape of our American culture where evils are multiplying, Bible truths that we hold dear as Christians trampled, the gospel deemed foolish and worthless, to think that our efforts to share the words of eternal life in Christ are for nothing. And so aren't we blessed to have a Lord who comes to us in his grace and reminds us, "You can trust my word of promise. It will accomplish what I want it to, winning precious souls for my kingdom." And see the remarkable way in which the Lord brings this word of encouragement to us, as he did for Elijah. He called Elijah to step out of the cave and stand on the mountain. And then he watched as the Lord passed by, and when he did that, Elijah witnessed first a fierce wind that tore into the mountain, shattering the rocks, then an earthquake that caused the ground to quake violently under his feet, then a raging fire burning. Significantly, we read in each of these phenomena, our text says the Lord was not in any of those outwardly grand phenomena. Then Elijah heard the sound of a gentle whisper in which he recognized the presence of the Lord. The Lord was providing Elijah a very special teaching moment that he was mistaken to think that the Lord's power as the true and living God that had been eclipsed by man's wickedness, by evil-minded King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and their ilk. "Elijah, you might want me to visit the wicked of the world with my swift retribution and wipe them out, but I want to give them opportunity in my love to turn to me in faith. And I've given you a tool to use, which is, yeah, outwardly unimpressive, but packed with power to do this amazing thing of creating and preserving faith in hearts, the gentle whisper of the gospel. Evidence of the power of my word is the fact, as the Lord told him there, 7,000 Israelite citizens still loved him, trusted in him, and had not bowed down to Baal or given them their heart's allegiance. The word that you, Elijah, and other faithful prophets have been proclaiming has accomplished great things. You just couldn't see it with your limited vision happening. And that's what the Lord teaches you and me too. We may be tempted to think, as I said, that the message of Christ crucified and risen, lacks power when we do not see it produce quick outward results. When we notice how many of our churches are numerically small and our pews aren't full, we see the embattled state of the church in general, scorned by the godless, distressed by false teachings, torn by doctrinal divisions, and we may wish that God would bring swift retribution on the ungodly and the unbelieving. When we see things happening like the Apostle Paul predicted would happen in his letter to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors and headstrong, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But then the Lord assures us, this is he assured Elijah long ago, I'm going to continue to use gentle whisper of the gospel to accomplish my saving purposes, to help those that do not yet know the Lord as their Savior yet, to lead souls to faith and preserve them therein, to build the faith of my children through faith trials and storms, as he did for Peter, comforting hearts grieving over their sins with the good news of God's forgiving love, like he did for the paralyzed man at Capernaum, consoling hearts mourning the death of dear ones, as he did for Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus, bringing countless numbers, precious souls, to the life of endless bliss with Christ in heaven's perfect joy. You know, Elijah, I'm sure he was very surprised to see the Lord appear to him in the quiet manner that he did, but really he ought not to have been surprised, because had not the Lord revealed himself to his people all through the Old Testament as the God of patience and love, who abounds in mercy and patiently bears with faith flaws of his people, as he did for Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, Job, many others. And it shouldn't surprise you and me either when we consider that he's always operated in this way to accomplish his saving will on behalf of precious souls. Think about, how was the Christ child born at Bethlehem? On a silent night in the little town of Bethlehem. How did Jesus conduct his ministry as the Savior of sinners? In lowliness and humility. How did he enter Jerusalem on the Sunday before he died? Meekly riding on the back of a donkey. How did he describe himself all along the pathway of his earthly ministry? He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The Lord has always won people over for his kingdom in that way, not with words that the world deems grandiose and grand, but with the simple gospel whisper. And so he lays this truth upon our hearts and encourages us today to leap. Keep trusting the gospel work. Leap forward in faith in your personal mission work, sharing the gospel with family and friends. Though you cannot predict where your feet are going to land in our synodical mission work, cannot predict how the Lord will work, but we know that he will. and knowing that we can trust in the Lord to guide us dependably, safely, and receive us finally into His presence, along with all the saints who've gone before us in the faith. In closing, you know that Elijah was one of the two people the Bible tells us about who never experienced death. There was Enoch, who lived 365 years. The Bible says he walked with God, and then suddenly he was no more because the Lord took him. And then there was the refugee prophet Elijah, who later on, as the Bible records in 2 Kings chapter 2, was walking along a road with his to-be predecessor Elisha along by the Jordan River when all of a sudden a chariot and horses of fire appeared and separated them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind, and he was seen no more. Your and my departure will probably not be like that, but it will be grand and glorious, and it will be traced back to the power of the Lord's gentle gospel whisper that He used to create faith in us and preserve that faith along our life's way. Till then, let your prayer be, spread, O spread, the mighty word, spread the kingdom of the Lord. Everywhere His breath has given life to beings meant for heaven. Tell of our Redeemer's love, who forever has removed by His holy sacrifice all the guilt that on us lies. Tell them of the Spirit given now to guide us up to heaven, strong and holy, just and true, working both to will and do. Lord of harvest, grant anew joy and strength to work for You, till the gathering nations all see Your light and heed Your call. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Uphold with Your Spirit.